You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Father, thank you for your great love for us. Thank you for bringing us together to talk about primarily grandparenting, but parenting as well, and how your gospel message and what Jesus did for us can inform us as parents and grandparents and in life. Thank you for that message. Thank you for the saving work that you did on the cross for us. Be with us during this time. Guide our words and our thoughts and anything that we say that's wrong or against your gospel message. Just wipe it out and help us forget it. But be with us. We give thanks to you for this morning. Thanks. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. I kind of feel like we should move over here.
Over here, yeah. There you go.
We'll all be together. So Will had asked us to tell a little bit about our family. We have four beautiful daughters who all live in town. Some are oldest is on the Crop Row. Yes, Will.
Yeah, pardon. The date just got out. So.
Yeah. I think it was probably 7 or 8 years ago, everybody lived out of town, and we thought it would always be that way. And in fact, on one of his birthdays, they all called in, and you know, my siblings came to sing happy birthday, and my sister-in-law said, "Oh, it's so sad you have four children and nobody lives here." And then, little by little, they all came home. So, so that's our family. They're all here. They're all married. And we have five grandchildren in town, four grandsons and one granddaughter, and one on the way, which we're thrilled about. I will say one of the things, the scriptures that are in the sheets that we found are what is our encouragement. It's been encouraging to us to see this. For example, Psalm 145, 4, one generation shall commend your works to another. We know that God uses relationships, uses family to pass on the faith. It's shared, it's remembered, and retold. Now, the primary responsibility, of course, for training your children and from Deuteronomy 6:6-7, is parents, not grandparents. I'll read this. "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise." But it does say earlier than that in Deuteronomy 4:9 that it references grandparents. "Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them." So that is there. Psalm 78:5-7, I'll read that too, which "He commanded our fathers to teach their children that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." So that's really the pattern that God has for families and passing on the faith. And you can see that in the genealogies where there is a connection between each one. And it's what's really cool is when you see science and secular world confirm it. There is a study, I've got it printed, some quotes from it printed in your handout, that are long-term, that were connected to Harvard, where they found that strong and meaningful relationships with grandparents are the clearest predictors of well-being, purpose, and even cognitive health. So if you see this, I love this. "Stable, nurturing relationships with grandparents act as a buffer effect against toxic stress, promoting emotional resilience and social development in children. Involved grandparents provide unique emotional regulation, lowering childhood anxiety and behavioral issues, while experiencing better health, purpose, and longevity themselves. And this quote I love, a child requires progressively more complex joint activity with one or more adults who have an irrational emotional relationship with the child. Somebody's got to be crazy about that kid. That's number one, first, last, and always.
And I think Jen referenced too last year, there's also an effect for the grandparents. You know, there is a positive benefit to grandparents who were involved with their grandchildren. I think what was the phrase you used? A diminished cognitive decline is not a guarantee against dementia. Sometimes the interaction with grandkids will make you a little crazy, but there are health and emotional and physical benefits for grandparents, you know, with their grandchildren.
Yeah, and that's, again, Proverbs 17:6, children are the crown of the aged. Families depend on each other for their identity and for their joy. So we weren't designed to grow in isolation. God built us for this intergenerational dependence. Now, I do want to say, you know, some of us, you know, our parents have died, may not have a relationship with your grandparents because they're not here, or, you know, they may live in a different city, and Mary and Paul are going to talk about that next week. And we'll talk about that, but in general, you know, we are meant for intergenerational dependence.
Yeah, I just... would commend a lot of what Jen said last week in terms of the psych. Not that we are grandparents with psychological benefits of being grandparents, but for the grandparent and for the grandchild, in terms of being nurtured together, to say again what you said, Rita, when science backs up a Christian's attitude towards a certain way of life, I'm not surprised by that.
Yeah.
Because it's all truth, it's God's truth. And we're given these relationships to grow in and to be nurtured in. Something we did talk about last week, and I would love to hear your perspective on it, is viewing being a grandparent as a calling. Mm. We have lots of calling that's in our lives. And a lot of times we just look at calling as what is, especially if you're a young person, what is my vocation? And a lot of times when you're done with the vocation part of your life, if you're a grandparent, you start to ask yourself, what is my calling now? And so I'd just love to hear, how do you view being a grandparent as a calling?
Well, when our kids all moved back home and they started having grandchildren, it was clear that God, grandparenting is part of our calling. You know, I think that when in previous generations, it might have been easier to be in a nuclear family and not have, you know, the other family around. But now almost everybody works full time. And it's very, very hard to have children and have a full-time job and not have outside help. So Drew and I both, I mean, when they ask us, can you help, if any way possible, we're going to say yes. So that's how we see that. And we see that as a gift from God, really. We have close relationships with our grandchildren and with our children. And I will say, too, you know, and Addie can attest to this, we don't always believe the same things about everything. You know, politically, we're in different spheres. and that challenges us. It makes both Drew and I think, hey, do I believe this because it's cultural, or do I believe this because it's scriptural? So it makes us dig deep to have that kind of challenge to us. But And then also, 2 Timothy 1:5, I think I've got that on your sheet too, where it says, you know, Timothy's faith is traced to his grandmother, Lois, and his mother, Eunice. And it's, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, the faith that first dwelt in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, now and now I'm sure dwells in you as well. The call really is just to live your life and your relationship with God like my parents did. Now, they went to church every single Sunday, and that was a rhythm that was, you know, just natural part of their life that was passed on to us. And same with Drew's parents, too.
Yep.
But I think that neither the parents nor the grandparents are responsible for the outcome, but just to be faithful to what God has asked us to do. I say it to myself all the time.
But really, can you say it again?
Yes. That neither the parents nor the grandparents have responsibility for the outcome, but only to be faithful and just leave it. That's faith, is trusting God to work in your children, grandchildren, and Drew's going to talk a little bit about that too.
Tell how does then the gospel free us from... There's the one great freer of outcomes. So tell us how the gospel frees us from fear of poor outcomes even.
Well, I did, in preparing for this, tried to look at that in particular. And I think the way the gospel helps us with this when we are sharing the gospel with others, you know, to sort of establish the pattern, we're responsible, I think, to share the gospel, but it is not our responsibility to determine what they do with that information. And I think with our children and with our grandchildren, one phrase that... that I liked, that I read, it says, we are freed from the illusion of control over outcomes. You know, we have that tendency to think that we have that ability to, and we do not. I mean, there are just too many variables for us to have actual control. And I think the gospel separates faithfulness, doing the right thing, from results. Mm-hmm. We have responsibility to share the gospel message, to be honest, to do the right thing, so to speak. But we don't have control over results. I think another phrase that I read that I liked was the gospel emphasizes that. The gospel is not you get what you earn, but you receive what Christ has done. And I think that same sort of pattern applies with parenting. I think with parenting, with grandparenting, we're responsible for things like faithful presence, for loving them, providing instruction when we have the opportunity to. Sometimes I tend to provide instruction where maybe might have been a little inappropriate, maybe not done well, maybe the timing wasn't right. But we are not sovereign over the human heart.
You can say that again.
Say it again.
God is sovereign, we are not. Yeah. And so we are not sovereign over someone else's heart. Either the human heart. The Holy Spirit can change your heart, but not even perfect parenting can do that. One great message that I heard James Dobson say, this was probably 40 or 50 years ago. He said, if perfect parenting resulted in perfect kids, then why do we have the Garden of Eden? Where Adam and Eve were in the garden with perfect conditions, in the direct presence with God, and still sinned, still turned away. And look, we did. Perfect parenting is not ever, and you can't perfect parent anyway. And this is what I really loved, and I think if there's any one sort of message for parents and for grandparents, it is that the gospel removes from us the crushing burden that if my child turns out well, then I succeeded. And if they don't turn out well, I failed. I think if you're younger, you may not have seen this yet. I think certainly the older folks in this group can certainly attest to. We've seen parents who do pretty much everything right and have children that don't do well. And we've seen parents that don't do anything right, hardly, and they have kids that turn out great. I think, one of the wonderful things I read, Tim and Kathy Keller talk about, who can't respect Tim Keller for his ministry and Kathy's continued ministry with in the church. And they say, we were terrible parents. She said, I don't think we ever did anything right as far as parents. And they've got three sons. And I think they're all involved in the ministry in some form or fashion. And she said, but we were, we had nothing to do with that. We were terrible. So that Rita was very good as a parent. I'm not sure I was all that good. Again, timing and intensity. And one of the fun messages that I, if I can tell a personal story.
Please. Yeah.
With Abby, as a matter of fact. Rita did a lot of coaching with me to help me as a parent. And one time, Abby and I were getting ready to have a conversation about something. I can't even remember what the conversation was about. But Rita spent probably 20 or 30 minutes with me. Just, okay, Drew, you got to do this and remember this and all this.
Reflective listening.
To practice reflective listening. And I practiced with Rita, seriously, for about 20 or 30 minutes. And about 30 seconds into my conversation with Abby, I blew it. I mean, and it was, Abby.
I got to tell this part. So he calls me. I said, how'd it go? He said, terrible. I said, what do you mean? He said, I didn't do anything you said to do. I didn't do any of it. So then, of course, I'm trying to damage control, and I call Abby. I said, are you okay? And she said, yeah. And I said, well, so how was it with Dad? She said, oh, Dad's great. Great conversation. No, there's no problem.
Yeah. I think again, just to sort of sum up real quick, because I don't want to take too much time, but I think the gospel message and the structure and the removes the burden from us as parents and grandparents that we have that responsibility to make sure they turn out okay. And I think as grandparents, again, we have responsibility to be present when we can, when we have that opportunity, but we're not going to try not to overstep our bounds anyway with the parents who have primary responsibility, as I see it. And it allows us to in a sense have more fun and to be present without constantly thinking the burden that we often deal with in life. And so I think it helps there. So be long.
Yeah. One thing I would also add, I love this verse from 1 Corinthians. I think it's in here, 3:6-7. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth.
Yeah.
And that is the story. That's the way that it is. And then also from Ezekiel 36:26-27, where he said he'd give us a new heart and a new spirit, and he's the one that will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. He says, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey our rules. So, he says, we are jars of clay, and the treasure is put into us to show God's power, not ours.
So what it looks like is for our grandchildren to see us, you know, repenting and having faith and depending on God. And also, you know, when you think how this works in the church, grandparents, if Tara asks you to teach Sunday school, say yes, do it. We've enjoyed this so much, and I think it helps for not only our grandchildren, but the rest of that age group to see older people who have persevered in the faith over the decades, you know, through the hardships and joys and ups and downs, and that we've got perspective and we're a different voice coming in from just parents.
So something you said earlier that I love, as children get older, they increasingly need more people that love this kid, that love this kid like crazy. That is my job, to love that kid like crazy. And what the gospel says is, that's it. That's what you need to do. And not worry about what's going to be the outcome of this love. To trust God with those outcomes. I'm going to listen through the lens of a parent as well, that you know, it's like, I want to do everything right with our kids, and I won't. But what I can do is love our kids like crazy. And what I hear you say also, in terms of like loving kids that aren't yours through serving in the church, like this kid needs to be loved, and so does this one, and so does this one. So the more we say this in youth ministry, kids need someone. It could be anyone, a grandparent, a mentor, a coach, teacher. Children need someone that's not their parent. Love them. And then have a gospel embodiment, for lack of a better word, in their lives, to know that this is a person that I can go to. I can go to mom and dad, but this is a person that I can also go to having those increasing people in their lives, as y'all have done with your grandkids, and now with more and more kids that aren't yours.
So
that's a good transition then, because some families don't have traditional parents or grandparents. We see that often. What encouragement do you have for those individuals and families that wouldn't have maybe the traditional grandparent or grandparent around because of either a broken relationship or a death or anything that might prevent that from happening?
Well, I mean, that God's design is good. It's just not always present. And so some of the verses that we've got here, he hasn't overlooked you. I love that verse from Isaiah 49:15-16. He doesn't forget where we are, and he still is present in your life. He says in Psalm 68:5-6, he's a father to the fatherless, and he sits lonely in families. And so if you're a parent and you don't have grandparents here, you know, when you come to church, that is, I mean, God, Jesus said that's a family. He said in Mark 3:35, whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. I have two stories about this from my grandchildren, but it just shows the connection from the church. So my granddaughter was in the car with me, and we saw a very elderly man riding a bicycle on the highway. It was kind of scary. And she said, Yaya, where is his family? And I thought, that's the first thing she thought, is where's his family? I said, well, honey, he may not have a family. And she said, well, then he needs to go to church. She sees it that way. And then the second one,
can we film her for something? Yeah.
And then my 4-year-old grandson said, I have a big family and I have a little family. And I said, okay, who is your little family? And he said, me and Mama and Daddy and Yaya and Daddy Drew and Mimi and Marco. So he naturally just pulled in his grandparents. And then he says his big family, he said, all the aunts and uncles and cousins. And I mean, so they've got all that connection. But anyway, if you're a grandparent and your kids are not here, I would say reach out to those who may not have grandparents here. And if you're a parent, you're not meant to do it alone. Just reach out to other people. It's not, the goal is not to recreate family, but to just be open to how God can use other people in their mm-hmm. family's life.
I've seen that, in my life, and I had a great family with great parents, and then there were those surrogate uncles mm-hmm. or surrogate mm-hmm. aunts mm-hmm. or surrogate, fill in the blank that loved me. But I see it, in this church, I see mm-hmm. these intergenerational relationships where someone's parents and thus their kids' grandparents may live like far away, mm-hmm. but they actually have a true adopted family mm-hmm. that they see all the time, and so church is a good place to find that.
Yeah.
I'm a company man, but I'll say it.
That's
true. There's a theme that I just want to hear y'all more mm-hmm. Talk about this. It for me, I see this, it's so clear throughout the scriptures. From the beginning, we find God has a certain activity that he has in families. We see it with mm. with Lois and Timothy and his grandmother. Mm. We see it with David and Solomon. Mm. And we see it with, Peter says in Acts chapter 2, this promise is for you and mm. for your children and for all who are near and far off. Mm. So just how do you see God's activity work in your own life, in your family unit? And mm. how do you see that play out in the lives of in the Christian life, rather?
Yeah. So I would say for both of us, our grandparents were very present mm. with us and a really major influence. My grandmother had a different personality than my mother, and so I had both of those kinds of approaches that were an influence on me. My grandmother never missed church. She went every Sunday, and whenever a difficulty would come up, she would say, "Well, honey, you just need to trust God." And I think that comes different from a grandmother than it mm-hmm. does from a parent. Mm-hmm. And then the same I would think for my children too, that when Mom Carol said something, they were more responsive to her in some ways than to me. The other thing is, My mom and dad would have had rhythms in our big family life, which were a great example for us. We had what we called family fun night, and we said that tongue in cheek because we would often get into fights. But every Sunday night for decades, we had dinner at with my mom and dad. My brothers and sisters and cousins all came. And we just did this every single week. There wasn't any plan with it. But at my mom's 90th birthday, every single grandchild and great-grandchild stood up and gave a toast and mentioned Family Fun Night as being one of the strong influences yep. on their lives. And when you see your aunts and uncles and your cousins, and they're all a support for you, that to me is where I see God working in our lives. I've got those examples that I can go back to. And when I'm tired or I think I don't really want to do this, I think, well, my mom and dad did it. I think I mm-hmm. do it too. So it's a great encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
Anything to add?
I mean, I was somewhat similar to Rita in that when growing up, just sort of that tradition, we try to do something with our immediate family on a very regular basis. And one of those things is we cook pancakes every Saturday morning, and whoever is in town and can come shows up. And so we'll have, now how many people is that? 15 or 18 people show up for pancakes, and I cook about 100 pancakes.
No, seriously, we have people in the neighborhood that show up.
Yeah,
we have
y'all welcome.
You're all welcome. Blueberry, chocolate chip combination, yeah.
And we do that, I think, because it felt so natural to both of us to try to have something that we do as a family in bringing everybody together, you know, whenever we can, as much as we can. You know, in fact, Abby's husband, Patrick, says, you know, one of the things I like about this family is y'all have a tradition, and that tradition is to show up.
Well, he called it our love language.
Yeah, love language.
Y'all's love language is showing up, yeah.
And so whenever there's a family birthday party or christening or baptism or whatever, you know, we, you know, and it's true, you know, sort of throughout our family, you know, we just show up for things. And I think that kind of thing is, that kind of tradition is important and helpful.
You know, it was kind of fun when the twins were baptized here. We invited, you know, aunts and uncles and cousins and everything. And
this is from Rita's family.
It's Catholic.
Heavily Catholic. Yeah. I mean, across about four current generations.
And everybody came. So my aunt and uncle and my mom and, you know, cousins, everybody was there. And when we went to the front, they all came to the front.
Oh, wow.
Go ahead, Paul.
I just a question for you all. How have you dealt with if you have any grandchildren whose father or mother, your daughter-in-law or son-in-law, doesn't like you? In other words, how do you grandparent properly when either your daughter-in-law or your son-in-law doesn't really actually adore you? Oh, maybe even would rather wish you moved to Charlottesville. How have you handled that as a Christian, if you've ever had that?
Oh, well, I'm sure there's more of that than I realize.
You, it's impossible.
But I will say one thing. This is what we try to do. We try not to usurp the parents. So,
you sure?
Yeah. Right. So, for example, if my grandchild comes in and says, can I have ice cream, I go, ask your mother. Or, you know, can I watch this on TV? Ask your dad, ask your mom. So I don't want to be the one that's subverting them in any way. But, you know, of course, I'm going to be irritating and I'm going to get on their nerves and they're not going to like the way I do something or they don't like my beliefs or don't, you know, any of that. We just one-way love. That's just the way we need to do and just keep going in that direction.
Yes.
From a dad who has ample help from a lot of grandparents. Well, we have three sets of grandparents like all within spitting distance from us. And like the one great trump card is that they all help with our girls. Like at the drop of a hat. And so I'm gonna answer Paul's question a little bit. Any annoyance that I might have, it's completely done away with. In the way where they're like, we'll help you. It's like that because we need it. I mean,
We need it.
Your kid, I see you in the car line at your grandkids' school and my kids' school, we need it. And so that's the one great. We will help you with this. I say all is forgiven.
So and I mean, you know, sometimes they irritate me too. So you guys don't fight. But anyway,
we do that. Well, we have about a couple minutes. If there's one more burning question, if the rights, I'm off script here. If the rights are okay answering, there's one more.
I'd love to hear. We don't have grandchildren yet, maybe in the future, but you know, it seems to me that primary parenting responsibility is with the pair.
Yes.
Secondary is kind of supplemental or it's more grace laden, or there's an opportunity to have more grace there. How do you find the right balance, or you know, what are some of the things that you've seen or heard that allow you to prevent giving unwanted advice at perhaps the wrong time?
And yet,
sensing maybe not with the clarity of a question, would you give me advice when it's helpful? What's the delineation between the two? When do you stick your nose in and when do you not?
Mm. Well, I'm sure we've done it when we weren't supposed to, but.
For me, I try to, whenever I want to insert myself, which is often, I talk to Rita. And I'm serious. I mean, I think that's why, you know, again, not everybody has the, you know, perfect situation, but I think talking with your significant other about an issue that's going on that you have a concern about, or you want to insert yourself. First, if you want to insert yourself, always put up the little caution flag. And I think talking with your spouse is a good check on, am I being inappropriate, appropriate? Is there another way I should mm-hmm. phrase this or say this that may help? I think that's a...
Well, and also I think these verses, they're an encouragement, so to remind me that that's not my primary responsibility and I need to respect them. Parents, and I mess up, but that's what I try to do, is let them raise their kids the way they
have your children a lot. You have your grandchildren a lot.
We do.
How do you keep from getting into discipline anymore?
Oh, well, so if they're with... No, we had that. That's a great point. We had that agreement with their parents. When they're with us, they do get disciplined. And it's, they'll go to timeout.
Give us an example.
Well, I'll tell you one thing we did.
What, did you see him in church this morning?
No.
I saw you.
Yeah. So one thing we implemented with the parents' agreement is we give them coins, and y'all can judge us on this, but it works great. We started saying, okay, there's certain things that if it's something that's hard to do and it's the right thing, you get a point. And so for one of our grandsons wanted to wear T-shirts to church and would not wear a collared shirt. And I said, fine, you get a point if you wear the collared shirt, but if you wear the T-shirt, you don't. And they took on this, and those points equal a dollar. And so they get up to 30 points. We go to Smith's, and they can spend their money. So that's one thing that's been... More
that sounds like a grandparent love.
Yeah.
And they keep up with their points.
Oh, buddy, that's right. No, usually you see. Yeah, they do. So even Bart, who's four, I'll say, okay, Bart, how many points do you have? And I know he has seven.
Yep.
And he'll go, I have eight. I go, no, you don't.
Or 12.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. One time you said,
track as many points.
Yeah, I put them on my phone.
Drew and Rita, thank you very much. Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. Lord, we give you great thanks for the rites this morning, and for the family you have given them, for the grandchildren you've given them, for the calling that you have given them to be grandparents, to many grandchildren that are close by, for the ways that they have been given to love their children and their grandchildren, loving their children through loving their grandchildren. We give you our thanks and praise for that. We thank you that their grandkids know that they have a little family and a big family. We thank you that that your body, Lord, is their big family. Thank you for that for all of us, Lord, that where we yearn for grandchildren or yearn for grandparents, that is in this body we can find them. Pray for the rites and just the way that they will continue to love their grandchildren for years to come. Thank you for the wonderful words that they have been given to us this morning, which is your word. Thank you that we can love our kids and our grandkids with reckless abandon and trust you with the outcomes. Pray this all in Christ's name. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.